can Britain do a trade deal with the European Union in less than 12 months? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Whichever party wins the UK general election next week will need to finalize Brexit. Not only will they need to agree an exit deal, but also a future trading relationship with the EU, thanks to a December 2020 deadline. But Meredith Crowley, an international trade economist at the University of Cambridge, says that timeline is likely to shift.
A relevant recent example would be the U.S. renegotiation of the NAFTA treaty with Canada and Mexico. All three parties understood what needed to be done, and they pushed a very aggressive timeline, and that took a full 2 years. So the idea that the U.K. could do something similar in less than 12 months seems really quite heroic to me.
Generally, trade deals are designed to make two countries come closer together. In this case, the UK and the EU are trying to move further apart. So does that make it more difficult to negotiate a new deal?
I think that's actually easier for the two countries because you already have a base of what you've achieved and what you know works. I think the big issue is that the country hasn't really figured out precisely what it wants with its agreement with the EU. So there's a general sense that regulation under the EU is too stringent and they're not happy with that, that immigration has been too high and the UK is not happy with that. But outside those sort of vague objectives, it's been much less clear. And so without having a clear vision sector by sector, it's very hard to put together a negotiating mandate and then see if you can get the other side to agree.
Perhaps a long road ahead. Meredith Crowley, international trade economist at the University of Cambridge. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Let's do the numbers. Fresh data showed Chinese manufacturing saw its biggest spike in activity in 3 years last month. In Hong Kong, though, pro-democracy demonstrations caused another tumble in retail sales, which dropped 24.3% in October from a year ago. World leaders are in London this week to mark the 70th anniversary of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. French President Emmanuel Macron recently said the alliance was on the verge of brain death due to uncoordinated decision-making. Former NATO Deputy Secretary General Alexander Virchow thinks the alliance can survive.
Macron, by raising that alarm, has actually reminded allies of why they need NATO more than ever. The talk is that the summit may commission some kind of wise person's study of the future strategy of the alliance. And that may be a good thing to do. The last time NATO looked at its strategy was in 2010, before the Russian aggression against Ukraine, before the rise of ISIS. So it may be a good thing to step back and figure out what NATO is for as we look over the next 10 or 20 years.
Is there life left then for the now 70-year-old alliance?
NATO has shown over the years that its greatest strength is its adaptability. And at the end of the Cold War, it didn't go out of business, but adapted to deal with the breakup of the former Yugoslavia. It learned to deal with counterterrorism and counterinsurgency after the attacks of 9/11. And then after 2014 and the Russian aggression against Ukraine, it kind of relearned the original purpose of NATO, which was deterrence and defense. So I think with threats such as China, artificial intelligence, diffusion of power in many different ways, NATO needs to adapt again, and the summit may be the opportunity to kind of set a course for that next phase of adaptation.
Alexander Virchow, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
From the silver screen to the theater stage, The Wolf of Wall Street has been adapted into a live immersive experience here in London. The BBC's Vincent Dowd went to play a part.
Magic people, voodoo people. The 2013 film version of Success and Excess in early 90s New York remains what most people know of Jordan Belfort and The Wolf of Wall Street. But stage director Alexander Wright says his new live show is a different thing entirely.
You arrive as a stockbroker on your first day at work for Stratton Oakmont. Your journey through the show can happen in loads of different ways, whether you keep allegiances very strongly with Stratton Oakmont or defect and become part of the FBI investigation working against Stratton.
Can you make a sale?
This Wolf doesn't take place in a theatre. It's playing in London on a site being redeveloped behind Liverpool Street Station, which next year is to open as a hotel. Jordan Belfort is played by Oliver Tilney, previously lead actor in The Great Gatsby from the same team, and thus an expert in the interactive audience experience.
We talk about tracks which sort of navigate you through the show. There are chances to peel off those tracks or a character will invite you off that track onto another one.
What do you think the regulatory authorities are going to say when they see a $180 million buyout to a man who's got a lifetime bar from the securities industry?
The action is still set in the late 80s and early 1990s. The get-rich-quick schemes of brokers Stratton Oakmont fall apart and the FBI comes knocking. Alexander Wright was pleased to find a location in the City of London with employees of today's world of finance all around.
We're really keen to try and do it in the city. We thought it'd be a really interesting part of the city to do it in, so we're really pleased that we've managed to find a home. It's about us trying to present that period in history and that moment when there was that huge financial boom in the States and in the Western world, and kind of try and re-examine what that means and whether we should be focusing on people or whether we should be focusing on money and gain and wealth or community.
The show is, of course, designed above all to entertain. We'll see what London reviewers and London audiences make of it. In London, I'm the BBC's Vincent Dowd for Marketplace.
And finally, Russian farmers might be scouring Cyber Monday deals on virtual reality headsets. That's because they're using them on cows in hopes of improving milk production. So far, they've reportedly already boosted the cow's mood. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.